You are watching Comedy at the Carlson Cast with your host, Vinny Paulino. Sitting next to him, as always, Brian Ball. I'm the adorable Nick Levasseur. Today, we've got Phil Hanley. Let's take it over to Vinny.
What a wonderful, professionally done introduction, Nicholas.
I don't know. Adorable?
Look at him.
That's a bit.
Look at the scamp.
He's quirky at best. It's not adorable. I wouldn't go quite as far as adorable.
He is our little elf.
Aw, shucks, guys.
We love Nick.
Ugh.
Welcome back to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Coming to you from inside, live from inside, one of the country's best and hottest comedy clubs, Comedy at the Carlson here in Rochester, New York.
Woo!
All right, Nature Boy, settle down. Settle down a little bit. I know it's a reason to be excited. I know you are. I'm excited to see you. This is going to be a good show. It's our second to last show of the year, so I'm kind of excited for that. Phil Hanley is coming in.
One of my favorite comics, actually.
Really? You're a big fan?
I really like Phil Hanley. He's very funny.
He's got just such a good stage presence and like a confidence in a weird, awkward way.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of questions as to how he kind of came into that. If that's a natural thing for him or if he's doing a character work. I can't even tell.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk to him. Big things are happening. One show with him tonight, Friday night.
Yes.
And then we're having the big Comedy at the Carlson holiday party.
Yeah.
Jumbo Shrimp's playing and Mulitude, so that should be pretty fun.
I hope
that's right, Nick. The Mulitude.
That is crazy.
I hope there's also Jumbo Shrimp in addition to the band Jumbo Shrimp.
Ooh. But seriously, though, I'm looking forward to that party. It's going to be a really good time.
It's going to be a really good time.
And if you could come see a show and then stick around and get some music and all that good stuff. We're going to be giving away some tickets later in the show as well because it is, as always, Free Friday for Facebook friends. It is a 5-day.
You nailed it.
I did. First shot. We'll tell you how to win some tickets in just a little bit. But before we get too far, let's talk about our sponsors, shall we?
Yeah, I think we shall.
Well, here we go. Let's start right there. Boom. Iron Smoke Whiskey. Let's see it. Vinny's computer. There you go. Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby. Handcrafted in upstate New York. I believe that they make it out in Fairport.
I believe so. Are you Irishing up your coffee this morning?
I am not. It's the holidays, Brian. Who drinks
that
around the holidays?
Everyone, every single person drinks around the holidays.
You know, I'm not going to. I'm actually going to.
That's why Jesus was born.
Advise you folks that Iron Smoke. No, he wasn't.
So he couldn't drink on the holidays.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
He came to Earth so we could all
it's one
drink
week at,
instead
one,
of associate with
one,
our families.
3 or 4 days a year you get to drink in the morning.
All right, I'll take it. Christmas. This year, you can bring a pie or you can bring Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
Much
made
better
by
choice.
Iron Smoke. Yes, you could do that. Or you could bring them the old-fashioned Applewood Smoke Whiskey. Or, you ready for this, dude? Check this stuff out. They just sent me this. From
what
Three
is that?
Heads Brewing
Ooh.
And Iron Smoke Whiskey. Joint
Ooh,
forces.
It's a combo.
It is a combo. Scotch ale, aged in Iron Smoke barrels.
Everyone loves a good mashup.
Merry Christmas.
Crossover.
To me. Hello, friend.
To you. I thought we were going to crack that open later.
We?
You showed it to us.
Yeah, to brag.
This is all
stupid.
On you.
Yeah, to brag. That's what I do.
I don't know how you thought you'd get away with showing me booze.
I like how they brought us over a really nice gift. We have some six packs in there too, some three heads. You can take some of that. But they only gave us one of these, and I assume since I am, you know, the alpha around here.
They just wanted to see us fight for supremacy.
Yeah, well, consider this your neck bite.
What's that thing called in Star Trek when like Spock and Kirk had to do that fight, you know? What was that?
Oh yeah. The one where Kirk won.
Yeah. We should do that for the bottle.
Yeah. Okay.
This would be a much better bit if we could remember the name of it.
Yeah. The Star Trek thing.
The Star Trek fight thing.
We're going to Star Trek fight. A lot of karate chopping.
Two-handed punches.
Two-handed axe-handle punches. Pops. Ah! It'll be very, very violent. But suitable for children.
We'll film it for
No blood.
Guys.
No blood. Also, folks, guess what? Sapori is on Grubhub now, baby. So if you're sitting at home and you're hungry, you can order yourself up some Sapori right now. Or you go out to lunch at the Powers Building Atrium, the Tennis Club of Rochester, or you can have them cater your very own special event at Sapori Rochester.
Very eager to see what the special is today. Because I've missed the last two.
What was it last week, Nick? What did we have?
It was like a steak thing. It changed me as a person.
Yeah. Nick is no longer the same.
Mm-mm. He used to be vegan.
Still a virgin, but no longer the same.
Not in my heart.
Last but not least, bad drip, baby. Hey, Nick, how's your vape?
Oh, it's chucking mad clouds, bro.
All right, man. How does your vape drip, Nick?
Huh? Well, quite well, but I guess bad.
Ooh. I was going to say, that's not the slogan, ooh. Nick.
I like this delivery.
Yeah.
I felt it.
I've got the Care Bear stuff. It's not bad.
It's Care
really
Bear.
Good.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah, it's very tasty. And it doesn't, what I like, it's very tasty, but it doesn't smell. Like, that's the kind of thing I had with a lot of the other flavor vape things that smelled like, your whole room smells like watermelon or whatever.
Yeah.
This tastes good, but it doesn't smell.
Ooh. Like that vodka from Seinfeld that Kramer liked so much.
Yeah.
You could be drunk all day and no one will know. So, Bad Drip, baby, baddriplabs.com. And last week we gave away a Bad Drip hoodie. Emerson Thor won for his question to Big J Okerson. So, as always, folks, don't be afraid to submit your questions during the interview because we are live, obviously. We're going to be back in just a few minutes after these words.
Sure to give us a like on Facebook at Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter if you do the tweeting. And now we're going to send it right back over to Vinny.
Hey, everybody. We are back, and I'm adjusting my headphones. Very professional. Very, very professional.
Boo.
I know, right?
Boo.
I'm the problem here. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us in the studio, the great Phil Hanley. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Hey, everybody. Oh, there I am.
There you are.
Okay, cool. Right
it's,
on.
It's a little weird. I try not to look at that monitor because it horrifies me every time I see myself at it.
Yeah, it's always jarring to see yourself there. Yeah.
It's also very jarring to see Vinny in it. So,
Vinny, I think you're very photogenic.
Phil,
don't do that.
You're a liar, but I appreciate it.
It is Christmas time.
It is Christmas time. Goodwill towards men. Goodwill towards men. Welcome to Rochester, Phil.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's great to be here. I'm from outside of Toronto, from Oshawa, and this reminds me of being home, and that's my phone.
Yay! Folks,
all right.
There was a terrible, terrible crisis before we went live.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you very much.
One of the most terrifying things that can happen to an adult male. Momentarily misplacing your phone.
What is it? Because in my head, I just think like, oh, that's going to be like a grand to replace it. Is that the worst part?
Yeah.
I guess I should be sentimental and be like, oh, it's photos of my nephew.
I feel like there's...
Which would be terrible to lose. But I went to the... it's going to be $1,000.
I feel like a lot of people would be more worried about losing the photographs of their penis, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's a thing people get worried about.
Yeah.
See, mine are all on Tumblr, so it's okay.
Tumblr.
Oh, is that... Yeah, I guess it's... it's sexy photos that people would be concerned about.
Yeah.
Well... No.
You're yourself again.
That's what I do, man. That's what I do. But you know what, though? I've noticed, actually, sir, in your comedy, you're pretty hard on yourself as well.
I talk about myself, yeah, negatively, I guess you can.
It's about self-deprecation.
Self-deprecation, yeah.
Form of humor.
Exactly. I have trouble. I'm extremely dyslexic, very, very dyslexic. And, I was going to say self-deprecation, but sometimes I say that word wrong, and I didn't want to do that live on...
you don't want to say self-defecation.
Yeah, I would say self-deprecating, I think I say.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes. Oh, that is. Oh,
100%.
100%. I would have nailed that. Yeah.
This is, I got to be honest with you. Do you feel relieved your phone's back?
Yeah, I feel good.
Okay, I feel better for you.
You're a sensitive man, and I appreciate that. And photogenic.
I'm trying to settle down. I was so nervous for you losing your
phone. Oh, were you really? No, I was fine. I lose shit, I bounce back pretty quick.
I went to my in-laws a couple weeks ago for Christmas, and I left my phone here in Rochester. It's an hour and a half away.
Oh.
That was the worst 7 hours of my life.
Yeah.
I don't get it why people say it's relaxing to disconnect. It's terrifying.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. I'm bad. I check my phone a lot. I check Instagram a lot. Like sure. It's like flipping through like a magazine or whatever. But yeah, I think you need to get, I wonder if you get in the habit of it. Yeah, 7 hours would be, yeah.
It's awful.
Arduous. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah.
Stuck the landing.
He's a thesaurus, ladies and gentlemen. Phil Hanley, the dyslexic thesaurus.
Yeah.
See, I wish I had that excuse. I just mispronounce words all the time.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, it's just because I got a fat tongue, though. That's like my problem.
I do mispronounce words from time to time. Yeah.
So you're originally from Oshawa, by Toronto.
Have you heard Oshawa?
I've been to Toronto. I don't know if I've been to Oshawa.
I have actually been to Oshawa.
Have you really?
Yeah.
How come?
I have friends that live up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you don't meet a lot of people that have been there. People drive, they'll be like, oh, I drove past there.
Seems all right. Typical Canadian suburb.
Yeah, it's like a big hockey town and stuff. Yeah, there's not a lot going on, which I think is part of the reason that I started, you know, getting into comedy, I think, because it was a lot. It's like a town where, like, when you're a teenager, you drink in the woods.
Yeah,
the activity. Yeah. So.
What was it about the woods? A lot of creepy stuff happened in the woods.
A lot of creepy stuff, a lot of fun stuff. You know, there'd be like a fire and we would just, it's like a city, but yeah, there'd be like, it's the only area where we felt you could go and, you know, have some drinks and not get in, you know, trouble or whatever.
Were you a big stand-up fan growing up?
I was not huge, like some of my, you know, I have friends and stuff, they're like, I wanted to be a comic since I was like 7 or whatever. I didn't realize I was kind of doing that. Like, it was important to be funny in my family. My dad's funny. My sister's really funny. My mom's a great audience member. I don't know if I've ever said a joke that my mom did not laugh at, like, my whole life type thing.
Bless her heart.
So comedy was a big thing at home, but
I get puzzled looks from my parents.
Oh, really? Jokes?
Oh, yeah. If I say something, it's just like, what did he say?
I feel like growing up, because it's come up like 9 times already, but because I was dyslexic, I was a really bad student.
Right.
And I felt like being funny at dinner was more important than like my marks. Like, it was weird. Like, it was like Friday night at my family, like, household, and then we'd have, you know, friends over or whatever, and my friends were funny growing up. It was like a big, you just brought it at, like, the Hanley household, Friday night dinner, yeah.
You're just working on material all through class?
Yeah, you just got yeah.
Open mic slash
yeah,
dinner. Yeah,
roast. Yeah, you gotta really
I'm gonna ask her to pass me the gravy, then I'm going to. I feel like kind of the same way, like, you know, your family is a pretty good barometer of, like, if you got something.
Yep.
They could also be a terrible barometer.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's weird. Like, some people, I think, like friends that are comedians or whatever, I think they're, you know, their parents wanted them to, you know, do things, go to university and do maybe what they took in college and apply it. But yeah, no, I think my folks knew that wasn't an option for me. I think they were pretty, you know, they're very supportive and like happy that, you know, they like comedy and stuff like that. So yeah, that part worked out.
And you've been successful at it.
Yeah, how many of those other kids that you felt like were on the track to want to be stand-ups are actually on Seth Meyers? I'm just curious.
I had another friend growing up that's a comic in Canada, but they all went and did other things.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's still funny though.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, at what point were you kind of like, you know, well, I understand you weren't a school kid. You were thinking about Friday nights, thinking about having a good time and cutting up. At what point did you actually think, like, comedy might actually be a career choice?
I did a commercial. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll try acting. So I took an improv class.
Right.
And just making the first time I got a laugh, like just in class,
right.
I was like, oh, wow, this feels like just hanging out with my friends. Like it felt, I never realized that getting a laugh from strangers would be as fun and feel as good as like making your friends laugh.
It's the best drug in the world.
Yeah, but I had no idea. Like I thought, oh, comedy, that's just something you do for your family, or that's just something you do when you're, you know, hanging out with your friends as a teenager or whatever, being a smart ass. Yeah. And then when I got a laugh from like just the class, I was like, oh, and it was kind of like this epiphany thing where I was like, oh, I will try doing it, you know,
this good audience, I want more.
Or whatever. Yeah, and I did, and it was fun, and it felt just like, yeah, making your friends laugh or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a big thing. Like, I tried stand-up and immediately knew, like, oh, this is absolutely what I want to do.
Now, you went through high school and middle school. How old were you when you did this commercial? Like, what age are we talking about here?
I guess I would have been, like 20, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't go. This is, it's weird, and it feels weird saying it, whatever. But I went, so I didn't go. My friends went to college and stuff like that. I had a friend, a female friend, who was, like, a successful model. And she suggested that I get some pictures done and, like, try modeling. And I ended up doing it and moving to Europe and stuff like that. There was a time where they, like, skinny kind of guys that look like they'd partied a lot.
So you were a European model.
I was.
So yeah, that's like the 18 to 20
age? Yeah, I think that's, yeah, I started when I was about 19.
Yeah.
And yeah, did that for a few years. And then that made me want to be a
comedian. That must have been a trip.
It was a trip. It was wild. Because for me, too, I'm from this like, you know, it's like a hockey town, kind of like a jock town, tough town type thing. And, yeah, I never thought of myself as, you know, whatever.
Forget everything you did in comedy. That'd be the first line in my bio would be former European model.
I'm talking about it more and more now because I'm trying to get material about it. But, it was a weird thing. I went from that summer swimming with, like, a T-shirt on at, like, a pool party to, like, then being a model. Like, it was weird.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I have a model now.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way, yeah.
There had to be some type of feeling. Like, you had to, like, at some point go, holy shit, I am a model, and just sit up a little taller.
Never once, not at all. I was, like, skinny, and models are, like, these, like, you know, jacked guys or whatever. I did not feel that way at all. I felt this is really, someone's playing a joke on me. Yeah.
Somebody's running the long con. Like
exactly. This is a prank.
This one's pretty good.
Yeah. This is convincing. Good. The Armani in the room. I don't know how you did it, but yeah. It's convincing. Yeah.
That's a camera, isn't it? Yeah. That's a camera. I don't know, man. That's wild. Like modeling and then deciding to go to stand up. How does anybody decide? I don't want to model anymore. I want to go to stand up.
Yeah, I didn't like cuz there's like within the fashion industry, there's obviously like a, you know, it's the very superficial aspect of that. But then there's
really,
I was here to break the news.
Shocked.
And but then there's an aspect of it that's like the designers and the photographers and stuff like that are people that are very creative and wanted to do that their whole life. And I remember like, you know, talking to photographers or like, I was more friendly kind of with them than the fellow models or whatever. Sure. Because they were, again, they're these, like, super fit guys who looked at me, who was, like, this, like, skinny guy with long hair, and they were just like, why are you ruining this for us? Like, this was our thing. I've been doing sit-ups since I was 10. You meet these people that just, like, a photographer who's like, yeah, I've been taking pictures since I was 8 or whatever, and you'd be like, oh, wow, what did I, you know, what have, you know, you want to have that creative outlet yourself or whatever.
Right.
And then, yeah, when I started doing comedy, I was like, oh, okay, wow, this is actually kind of what I've been doing since I've been 8, you know?
Real. So comedy comes to you, what do you start hitting open mics? Is that like the next
in
step
Vancouver?
For you
in Vancouver, I started hitting open mics. And I had a conversation, like really at the beginning of doing stand-up, I had a conversation with another comic who'd been doing it longer than me. And he was like, yeah, you know, you want to get good, you got to get up 5 times a week or whatever. And I remember like to do that in Vancouver at the time was like almost impossible. So I'd go up in between bands and just do whatever, just try to get up and you bomb hard.
Like, that's the music open mic gigs.
People are tuning their guitars and just like, why, what? And have no interest in
what about what your you're aunt the other day?
No one cares at all. But I
felt that's what I needed to do. like, I hear these stories about, like, old famous acts just opening up for bands.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I just never understood how they did it with, like, crowds that are coming for music, coming for comedy.
Yeah.
It's such a different mindset for what you're coming in to see.
Yeah, it is. Totally. And you know, people, if they're going to see a band or whatever, you know, they have a couple of drinks or whatever. And, yeah, they don't want to sit and pay attention to comedy. And, right. and that's what you need. To get a joke, you need to sit and pay attention. You know, music, you can enjoy it and be talking and hitting on a girl and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Comedy, you can't hit on a girl and...
You can be 60% focused on the music and still enjoy.
Yeah, you could be 30 or 20. Yeah, yeah. You're like, yeah, these guys are great, and back to the conversation.
Yeah.
You're so bad at math, Brian.
I didn't want to say anything. But yeah, no, you can barely be paying attention and still be like, oh, this is cool, and you're at a concert, and there's like an atmosphere that you're enjoying or whatever. But with comedy, it's like, and that's why this club is so great. There's not like candles on the table or anything like that, and the room's dark, and it's like, there's no atmosphere. Like, you want no atmosphere, really. Right, yeah. I mean, you want to walk in and be like, oh, this is a cool club, and da-da-da-da, and then the lights go down, and it's just the mic and the, you know, the comic. Yeah, you want nothing else, really.
It's, you know, comedy's supposed to be like the movies. It's kind of supposed to be like the movies. Just,
That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, good sound and a light, and then that's it.
Do you ever have one particular really bad, like, experience with a band? Like, going on between bands?
I would do... Did you guys ever have, like, squeegee kids here? Those, like, kind of, like, homeless kind of kids?
Like, clean the windshields and stuff?
Yeah, they would clean the windshields or whatever.
Yeah.
We have squeegee adults.
Oh, all right.
Much sadder.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there was a bar that where they would go... that was kind of the vibe. It was kind of like a squeegee kid, kind of like
the squeegee gutter kids.
Part. I love this expression, squeegee kids. Like, they're up in Canada going, one day we're going to hit the big time in Rochester.
Vancouver was, I think, I don't think they're around as much now, but that was kind of the vibe of this bar. It was kind of like a gutter punk kind of vibe, and they would go and they would drink there. And I'd go on between bands there, and that was a really rough audience who did not. Didn't want to hear comedy
and that's kind of
vocal about it.
You're well known for doing a lot of crowd work, and from interviews I saw that's kind of where you got into doing that.
I would open for people, like, and that's kind of a similar story with a lot of comics. You might get an opportunity to open for someone and they're like, okay, do half an hour, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you're going to the gig, you're like, oh, geez, if I do every joke I've ever written, I got 8 minutes or 10 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever. So I would just kind of riff with them. Or, yeah, like, you would go, if you're doing comedy somewhere where people aren't anticipating comedy, just to connect with them, you would
Material don't work.
Just to get them to pay attention.
Yeah, but you're there to build an act, so you have to do material or it's a waste, or it would feel like a waste. So you would address someone directly. And, like, you know, have 3 seconds of dialogue. And then just quickly try to drop into a bit as much as I could to work on the, you know, work on the jokes.
Or so whatever. Show them something shiny and then
Just make it very personal and then try to get back to the joke that you're working on or whatever. And, to an extent, sometimes I still, you know, I'll still do that. I try to make shows kind of different, each one or whatever. So, you riff and then go into a bit and then riff and then go into a bit. Like, Todd Barry had a quote, and it's funny, I said this to him. I was like, I love this quote you said about comedy, and he didn't remember saying it or whatever.
So, that sounds like Todd.
That's but, very he was much
like,
Todd Barry.
Yeah, he's like, oh, did I say that? Keep the jokes tight and the show loose. And I was like, oh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's keep pretty good. Jokes I never heard that before. That's loose. Great.
Yeah, yeah. I read that, and I feel in retrospect I could have taken credit for it because he doesn't remember saying it. But, yeah.
A Phil Hanley original.
Yeah. Phil Hanley original Todd Barry quote.
We'll change the Wikipedia page. Yeah.
But, yeah, I love that. I love that quote.
Change the Wikipedia page.
You got it, boys.
Done and done. We're on it.
But I like your style of crowd work when you do it, too, though. You are very good at one of my favorite things to do, and that is just letting the person show everyone else they're an idiot without you telling them you're an idiot. You just give them enough rope to hang themselves.
Yeah,
stand back and watch the show.
Yeah, I like to. That was something. Because, I mean, I would do. I mean, in every comic, you know, you start, you do rough shows or whatever. But I remember there was a show that we did. It was like about a 5-hour drive from it was in a place called Kelowna, British Columbia. So you got to drive through the Rockies to get there. So it feels like a real road experience. And what they would do is they would do a comedy show, and it would be on a Saturday, and they would do it no matter what else was happening that night. And often there'd be like a big UFC event, and so they'd play. And this is how Canadian this bar was. There was a part of the it was a big room, and part of the room there was a hockey net, and there was a hockey stick, and you would have drinks, and then people would just take shots on the net. Like in a bar. There's, how Canadian is that? There's girls there, grown women, and you're an adult, and they're I'll probably just take some shots instead. But so that was the place, and they would have, so they'd play UFC event, and you know the audience would be like, you know, blood hungry at the end of that, and the screen would, before the screen would be fully back into the ceiling of the place, they'd be like, and coming to the stage, Phil Hanley. So you would really. It was
Wow.
UFC is a bad opener, is my point. Yeah. A bad MC.
That sounds like the most hockey net and UFC. That's the most brotastic thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, there's a lot of testosterone. There's a word I didn't say, right? Vinny, testosterone.
Sounds good to me, Phil.
Yes.
I'm with you, buddy.
So, yeah, it was.
Cool.
People have dubbed you a late night television darling. Have you heard that expression?
No. I would like to. I'd like to be more of one. I got to get back on the late night. Yeah.
When you are preparing to do a show like that,
uh-huh.
Like the first time you had to do it, what's that process like for you? Because, I mean, doing a set on late night television, you have no idea how many people are watching you.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Like, do you prepare differently? Let us in.
Yeah, I love getting ready for a late night set because it's 5 minutes and my jokes are short. So that's like 16 jokes or something like that. And, I love putting them together and getting it as tight as possible. You just do the set a million times. And everyone has, like, a different thing. Like, I have some friends that are like, oh, I don't want to do it too many times. I'll get sick of the set. I'm like, no, I want to do it as many. When I get the date, I say it's, like, 6 weeks away, I just do that set so many times. Because I just want it tight, and I want to know, oh, if the audience is like this, then I know, I'll pause more here I did a show the other night, and the person that was opening for me, who had seen my set all weekend, was like, wow, it was interesting, you took a lot longer pauses there. And I was like the audience was kind of not particularly smart or drunk or tired or whatever, and I needed them to really understand. I'm trying to say the audience, I'm trying not to say they were dumb, but no, they weren't as on the ball as the other shows that weekend. So yeah, I would see, do the setup, and I would really really get that in your head, guys, and then I would do the punchline. But I just run the set. I just run them and run them and run them. When I'm getting ready for a late night show. And I enjoy doing that and taking words out and getting, and the set kind of develops. You'll get a set approved, and then over that six weeks, when you're running it, you're like, oh, it gets better because, you might find a callback or you might, just get it as tight as possible.
And your style fits very well with late night.
Yeah.
I think. And was that like intentional, or is it just that they just liked your style? And
I don't know. I can really appreciate if a comic is, tells like great stories and stuff like that. But for me, I just love jokes. I love
you are definitely a 100% setup punch kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more and more I try to do, like a longer bits, or get on one topic and try to, have more material about it. But, this is what I love. Like, I love, I work at the Comedy Cellar, and, you get to see everybody there.
Right.
But the person that and he's there almost every night, but like a Tal, I just go down because he has a new joke, and I just love jokes.
He's amazing.
Oh, yeah. God. He might be the best on the planet. He's just so good and always new stuff. But I just love jokes. Because I can hear the same. If it's a great joke, I can hear it a bunch of times and, just enjoy it.
I, when I was watching your set, like, I'm kind of a nerd where I always watch for the technical aspect of comedy.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
me
too.
And, like, watching you go punch, setup, pause, let them laugh is just so textbook how you're supposed to do it.
Oh, okay.
That, like, Thank I you. Honestly, it was almost a clinic, I
Oh,
think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean like last night? Were you at the show last night?
I didn't see it last night. I'm going to see it tonight.
Oh, cool.
But I was watching your Craig Ferguson clips and stuff like that. I was watching your television clips, and I'm like, man, setup, punch, pause. Setup, punch, pause without losing a beat.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of got to ask you, you do this kind of interesting thing. It's like a posture that you take where you just kind of like a wide stance.
Oh, right,
you put
your
arms across and you just let stuff hit.
Yeah.
How did you start doing that? Is that just something you naturally did, or is it?
No,
like,
it's funny. I sometimes, people always comment on that, and I don't know where it necessarily came from, but people often comment on that, and then I'll go through a stage where I'm aware of it, and I sometimes realize that I'm standing like that. Yeah, I don't know exactly where it originated from, but it feels very comfortable.
Because it honestly, it looks like, yeah, that joke was funny.
Yeah.
enjoy this for a second.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fun way to stand and to tell jokes like that. I don't know.
It's not off-putting, but it's very like, it makes you look like you're way more comfortable.
Yeah, I'm fairly comfortable, but yeah, it's funny. People always comment on that, and I don't know exactly where it came from.
I think they call that a power pose.
Power pose. Yeah, I can see that.
Well,
now here's one question I have as another comic. You do a lot of short jokes, and I love one-liners like that. But how the hell do you remember all that? Because I do mostly long-form stuff, mostly because my old brain doesn't remember.
Just like this question.
If I had that many,
very long-form.
It's funny sometimes. sometimes, yeah. And I have trouble. Being dyslexic, I have trouble memorizing words, and it's complicated. Sometimes I'll have. I write them out, and I'll do in a 45-minute set, depending. How much, you know, I riff or whatever, like I'll do like 50 jokes or something like that. It's a lot. So yeah, you get it down I have like a rough idea of, like, say, the order that I would like the show to go in. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you are riffing, then someone will bring up something and you're like, oh, I got a joke to go right there. So that order goes completely out the window,
yeah.
You know? So then you're just basically, you're opening. And then sometimes those are the best shows. You're opening, and then you're just riffing, and then you're, doing whatever joke it feels best in the moment or whatever. And then you know, you'll have something that you would like to land with, like a closer that you would like to do.
Yeah.
But then sometimes
that doesn't even happen.
Too.
Yeah.
But you can stop. You can go back. I can go back to the order at any time or whatever. But there just seems to be, jokes kind of just flow. Even if you doesn't even make sense to the audience or wouldn't even notice, whatever, just in my head over a while, you're like, oh, these, it just works best in that order, you know, in the sense that, like, you're revealing stuff about yourself and then it just flows the best that way.
Type thing.
Yeah.
And you're the only person who's ever going to know if you mess that up.
Yeah, totally.
That's
totally.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Folks, Phil's going to be here for three more shows this weekend, one tonight, two tomorrow. If you would like to come see him tonight as our guest from the Comedy at the Carlson cast, why don't you send us a message on Facebook, because it is F5 Free Friday for Facebook friends.
You got it.
Use the special code POWERPOSE.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Use POWERPOSE in there, and we'll hook you up with some tickets to come see him tonight and stay for our Christmas party after that. Phil? You ever thought about going back to acting at all? You ever thought about doing,
you know what,
more?
I never really acted. Like, I did a couple commercials.
Right.
But I just, so it's Friday. On Wednesday, my movie premiered. I did a movie.
Say what?
Yeah, I'll give you all the deets, but it premiered in L.A. last...
Congratulations.
Tuesday. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And then it premiered, we did a premiere in New York, I guess, two nights ago on Wednesday. And, Colin Quinn did the Q&A afterwards and stuff like that. It was
so
really fun.
So it's a real movie, not just like a cat film on the internet?
No, it's a real movie. Okay. It's called Sundowners. It's on iTunes, and it's on Video On Demand now.
Just came out
in the States. Cool. We released it in Canada in the summer, and now it's out in the States. And I think it'll be on Netflix and stuff.
Awesome.
Ultimately, yeah.
Keep an eye out. Sir. Check it out on iTunes.
Yeah, Sundowners, yeah. We filmed it in Colombia. South America.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. It was crazy, yeah. It was about, I guess it was almost 2 years ago now. We did it, and the guy, the director and the writer, Pavan Mundi, who is a Canadian filmmaker, saw my Craig Ferguson and reached out like 4 years ago. It was like, hey, I'm writing this movie. I want you to be the lead in this movie. And I was like, okay. I hadn't acted or whatever, and sometimes you get an email like that that seems a little bit out of the ordinary.
Just out of the blue?
Yeah, out of the blue and just kind of weird. And
No one has ever sent me a letter like that.
It just happened. It was so crazy. And I was like, okay. And, you know, we'd exchange emails. And then, like, a few months after the original email, he'd come to New York. We'd go for a drink. And he was like, yeah, we're going to do a movie, you know, in like 8 months or something like that. And then he got another movie kind of greenlit. So it got pushed back. So it was like he kind of we were in contact for about 3 years before it actually went down. And and then we filmed it in Colombia. And
it just came out last
never
week.
Acted. Yeah, it came out in Canada in the summer. And then, yeah, it came out last week in the States. And I'd never acted before. It was the craziest experience. And
especially in Colombia, your first acting job. I'd have just been looking for Escobar's money the whole time.
Colombia, yeah, it was crazy.
Between takes, just doing holes.
And I arrived for some reason. You know, it's not, you know, it's a, like a low budget, you know, film. It looks, I mean, he's so talented. It looks really good visually. But for some reason with the travel, I arrived like, you know, 48 hours before the rest of the crew. So I was just in this like sea resort town in Colombia, just kind of hanging out, waiting for everyone to show up.
That's not bad. 2 days to kind of rest up and get ready.
Yeah, it was great. It was such a fun experience. We lived in this resort for almost like 3 weeks and did the movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So it's out now. Sundowners.
Sundowners. iTunes. Yeah.
Video on demand.
I'll be sure to check that out.
Phil, where else can we find your stuff? Instagram, Twitter?
I'm on Instagram, Phil M. Hanley. Please follow me on Instagram. And then I'm on Twitter, Phil M. Hanley.
All right, folks. Don't forget, Phil Hanley's here for three more shows. If you want to come tonight, send us the special code POWERPOSE, and you'll be our guest. I love that
code. I think that's our best special code yet.
Really? It might be. It might be. But, Phil, thank you so much for being up here with
no
us.
Oh, no problem.
Weekend, man.
Thanks, no problem. Thanks for having me. This is such a great club. It's such a nice setup.
Thank you. I think Mark did a great job with
it. Oh, my God, yeah. And everyone, all my friends that have played here, like, come back to New York and rave about
it. Who are your buddies?
That have played here? Yeah. Quinn, Colin Quinn, had a great weekend here. Ricky Velez was here and had a great weekend.
Oh, Ricky.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think who else.
If you ever want to go back and watch any of our past episodes, you should watch Small Ricky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. He had an interesting morning.
I'd heard. Did he talk about that on the show?
No, that was
the interesting morning.
Okay.
No. I'll put it to you this way. I like Ricky. I like him very much.
Uh-huh.
He Ricky's showed great. Up dressed like George Michael, like 1991.
Shirtless with a leather jacket.
It was pretty interesting.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'll show you a clip later.
Yeah, he has a flair for fashion.
He certainly does. Certainly
could
does.
Could he be a European model?
Ricky, yeah, I'm sure. I'm not an expert on the fashion industry,
Way
but I will say
out.
Ricky is a handsome man, and he has a flair for fashion, and because he dyed his hair blonde, right?
Not at the time.
Not at the time.
Oh, it's blonde now?
Now he even looks more like George Michaels, because he has blonde hair.
That kid cracks me up.
Yeah.
That kid cracks me up. Natural pizzazz.
But yeah, now he has blonde hair, and if he didn't shave, he would look very much like you would see him, and you'd be like, wow, I have to have faith. You would yeah. From the video. Yeah.
Right on. Well, we hope you come back and we hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. This is a great studio and I
very
love
kind of
Rochester.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming. Nick, good job today, buddy.
Thanks, pal. I tried hard.
All right.
Nick, yeah. And Nick made a pizza last night.
I did.
Wow, that was a serious pizza. Thank you.
Thanks, man. No problem. We'll make another one today.
We pay him in that. He gets to make his own pizzas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another thing in this club. Everyone's so nice, and yeah, this is great.
It's because we're so close to Canada.
We'll talk shit behind your back. Don't worry.
Okay. All right.
We won't. We'll all just make fun of Brian together.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they all talk shit about me behind my back. But...
Are you serious?
Yeah,
we hate him.
I'm the butt of many a joke.
Well, I recommend having a pizza.
And it'll make me feel better?
Yeah.
Is that all I've been missing in my life this whole time?
Crazy travel day yesterday. I came and Nick hooked me up. It was great.
Yeah. All you need is a pizza and a bullet. You'll make everyone happy this holiday season.
Yeah, I want to hear about Ricky. Okay.
Oh, we'll tell you. All right, thanks cool. for watching, folks. We'll see you next time.
Thank
Hit
you.
The credits, Nick. Let's get out of here.
That was brief. That flew by.